Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Daf Chaf. Now, perhaps it would make sense to go back to the Mishnah on Yotes Amud Beis to conduct a brief and rather essential review of the beginning of this sugya, which would allow us to continue into today's daf. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we discussed the Machzelas Konim, this mat made of reeds. We really have three categories. We have those which were specifically made for specific purposes. For instance, you have a Machzelas which was manufactured lishchiva, to be used as a mattress, to lie upon it, for reclining purposes, in which case it's certainly mekabel tuma, it's a kli, and is unsuitable for schach use. Schach needs to be something which is not mekabel tuma. On the other hand, we have a machzelos which was manufactured to be used for sichuch, for covering, for shielding, for protection, not necessarily schach of your sukkah, but to be used for coverage, for shielding over the thatched roofs down there in Africa. So it's not a kli, it's not mekabel tuma, and kasher for schachius. The third category is called stama, unspecified, undefined. It was not earmarked for any specific use. And that's going to be today's sugya. We're speaking obviously about a town where the mats would serve a dual function. It would be sometimes used for a sichuch, sometimes for shchiva, in which case we're not sure how to classify this mat. Now, there are two sizes. There's the gdoila, the large size mat, larger than what a person needs for personal use. And in that case, it is indeed more probable that the intended kavana when manufacturing that mat was to use it for sichuch and not for shchiva. Why would you make this huge mat to be used for shchiva? Whereas when you have a rather small size mat, personal size mat, it's more likely than not that the intended purpose was for shchiva. Okay, so let's start with the Mishnah again, in the middle of your testament base. Machzelas konim gedoila. You have a large size reed mat. Machzelas made of bamboos, of reeds. What is the halacha regarding schach? Also l'shchiva. If you manufacture it for the sake of shchiva, for reclining, for lying, in which case it's mekabelos tuma, it's a kli, it has tuma capability, and you cannot use it for schach. However, if he intended to use it for sichuch, so it's not a kli, and it's not mekabel tuma, he can use it for schach. And it's not a kli, it's not mekabel tuma. So Tanakama presents it as follows: a large size mat manufactured for shchiva purposes is a kli and is pasul for schach. Manufactured for sichuch purposes is not a kli and kasha for schach. Reb Lezer Eimer makes no difference whether it's large or small. Achas ktana v'achas gedoila, whether small or large, it depends on the intended purpose. Also l'shchiva, if you did it for shchiva purposes, mekabelos tuma ve'ein mesachachin bo, it's a kli, it's susceptible to tuma, can't be used for schach. On the other hand, if it was meant for coverage, then it can be used for schach. Says the Gemara, the wording of the Mishnah seems to be a bit difficult. Look back at the Tanakhama. The words are inherently difficult to understand. There is an inherent conflict in the words of the Tanakhama. First, you begin by saying, Amris, oh, so l'shchiva mekabelos tuma. If it was meant for shchiva, it's mekabel tuma. And it's unsuitable for schach. Time with asal shchiva. That's only because it was meant for shchiva. It was earmarked for shchiva. Hastam. Let's say it was just undefined, unspecified, nothing specific in mind. What's the halacha? And then we say l'sichach. We assume it's been made for schach and it's not a kli and it's kasher for sukkah use. So if it was meant specifically for shchiva, then it's a kli. But otherwise, we just assume a large size mat meant for schach. V'hadatani, then the Mishnah continues. L'sichach, if it was specifically earmarked for coverage, then you can use it. M'sachachin bo, Veinu mekabelos tuma. Talmud asal sichach. Apparently, because it was specifically earmarked for sichach. Since you had that in mind when you manufactured that mat, then you classify it as a sichach mat. Apparently, hastama. If it was not earmarked for anything, you had nothing in mind, then we have to assume that it's l'shchiva. It's meant for reclining, and it's a kli. And at the ratio, we had a diuk going the other way. So we have conflicting implications. In the ratio, we say, only if it's l'shchiva, earmarked for reclining, then we say it's a kli, but otherwise, if it was left unspecified, it's fine. We assume that it's meant for schach. In the sefer, we say, the other way around. Only if you had sichach in mind, then you're okay, but otherwise, we have to assume the worst, that it was meant for a kli. Halekasha, the answer is very simple. It depends how large this mat is. Kan begdoyla, kan begtana. The Rashi is speaking about a large size mat, which where it's more probable that it was meant for schach. So if you had shchiva in mind, then there's nothing to talk about. It was earmarked for shchiva tzikli. But otherwise, the default assumption is that it's schach and it's kasher. Kan begtana, it's a sefer, a small personal size mat. In which case, the default assumption is that it's for reclining purposes. It's a kli. Unless he specifically earmarked it for schachis. Continues the Gemara. Okay, you've explained the Tanakam. Let's skip over the parentheses. Let's go to Rabbi Lezer Omer. Achas ktana, achas gdoila. Whether small or big, it makes no difference. It depends what it was designated for. Asa l'shchiva, meant for lime, kabbalos tuma, and mesachach and ba'at. It's a kli, can be used for schach. What is the diyak? Tama da asa l'shchiva. Apparently, the concern is only because it was meant for shchiva. Then it's a kli. Ha'stama l'sichach. Otherwise, there was nothing specific in mind, then we assume that it's good. It's meant for covering. It's not a kli. So Rabbi Lezer doesn't differentiate between sizes. If it was earmarked for shchiva, then it's a kli. Otherwise, we could just assume that it's fine. Eimo seifo. So how does Rabbi Lezer continue? He says, Asa l'sichach. If he specifically earmarked it for schach, mesachach and bo, then we can assume it's fine. Veina mekabelos tuma. But that's only because he specifically designated it for schach. He had that in mind. Tama d'asa l'sichach. It's only because he designated it for such. Ha stama. But if it was left unearmarked, undefined, undesignated, we have to assume that it's l'shchiva, that it's a kli. A minute ago, you just told me that stama is schach. So within Rabbi Lezer, we have a stira. What is the halacha of stama? Initially, Rabbi Lezer says, any mat, irrelevant of size, which was done l'shchiva, that's a kli. Mashma, that if it's left undefined, we assume that it's for schach use, it's fine. And then Rabbi Lezer continues and says, the only way it's good is if it was asal asichach. But if it's just stama, then it's a kli. We have to assume it's l'shchiva. So what is the halacha of stama? And here you can't answer. Depends on the size. Because he's clearly referencing both sizes as one. He's not being machalic. He's not differentiating between sizes. So what is the halacha of stama? Elama Rav says, Rav, I'll tell you pshat in the Mishnah. And Rashi explains that what Rav is doing, he's changing the pshat in the word l'sichach. Until now we figured l'sichach means it was done for the sake of covering. Says Rav, no. The word l'sichach means that we have the right to assume that it was made for covering and it's not a kli. So let's see. Elam Rav, b'gdoyla kule amu le'pligi, when it's a large size mat, where chances are it wasn't meant for lying, it was meant for covering. Kuli amu le'pligi, the stama l'sichach. All agree, whether Tanakam or Belezer, they all agree that it's assumed to have been produced for schach, unless he indicated otherwise, but stama is fine. Ki pligi b'ktana. The question is regarding a personal size mat. Tanakam is savar stam ktana l'shchiva. Tanakam is machmer. He says, the stam by a small mat is presumed to have been l'shchiva and it's possible for schach. Lezer savar stam ktana nam l'sichach, he's mekel. Lezer is lenient. He says even a small size mat, which was left undesignated, undefined, unspecified, we assume it's l'sichach, apparently Reb Lezer says, look, some people use it for lying, some people don't. So let's just assume that it's not a kli, unless you've indicated otherwise. So basically, according to Rava, Reb Lezer has come to be mekel, has come to be lenient regarding a small size mat which was left unearmarked. Stam ktan, tanakam es machmer, Reb Lezer is mekel. Now, how do we see this in the Mishnah? Explains Rava as follows. Vachikam. So we go back to the Mishnah. This is how we meant to read it. Mishnah begins. Machzel es akonim. If you have a reed mat, gedoyla, a large size one. Oh, so l'shchiva mekablos tuma. If he specifically earmarked it for shchiva, of course it's a kli, it's mekabel tuma. Ve'ein mesachichin bo. That's pashut. Now let's stop and make a diuk. Tamad asa l'shchiva. That's only because he did it for shchiva, specifically earmarked it for shchiva. And the Mishnah continues. He's basically reading this into the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, "Lasichach mesachin ba," it means that it was left undefined. It was left stama. Now we have a right to assume that it was made for coverage. Ha stama, nasa kemisha asa lasichach. So the comment begins by speaking about asal shchiva, and then proceeds to stama. He takes a large size mat. He does it for shchiva. Of course, it's a kli. But if it was not earmarked for shchiva, we have a right to assume what's he doing making a large size mat if not for schach use. And that's what the Tanakama meant when he says l'sichach masachin ba. He didn't mean that he had that in mind. He earmarked it for sichach. Ha stama, even just a stama, is nasa kimisha asa la sichach umasachin ba. We have a right to assume that since he didn't specify that he's using it for shchiva, the default assumption is it's for schach. Now, since the Tanakama only referenced a large size mat, l'shchiva it's l'shchiva, stama it's l'schach. Apparently, when it's a personal size mat, then we can't just assume that a stam machzelas ktana was meant for covering. Right? Tanakama left it out. He specifically spoke about a gdoila. Because this halacha, that stam, is kasher, only applies to a large size mat. We have a right to assume a large size mat, it's not for personal use, that's for schach, but a small sized mat, there the assumption is that it's l'shchiva. So whether he had shchiva in mind or he just left it undefined, let's assume that it's l'shchiva. So bottom line is, Tanakama holds, imachzelas ktana, stama, is l'shchiva. Here comes Rebbe Lezer, and he applies a kula. He says, any stam mat, even a small size mat, is presumed to be l'sichach unless indicated otherwise. V'as, let's skip over the brackets. V'as, Rebbe Lezer l'meimar, achas ktana v'achas gdoila, stama kshera, l'sichach. Whether large or small, doesn't matter. If he had shchiva in mind, of course. Nothing to talk about. It's a kli. But if it was left undefined, and that's what Rebbe Lezer meant when he says, l'sichach masachin ba, not that he specifically earmarked it for sichach, it means it was left undefined, unspecified. In which case, he says, we have a right to assume that it was meant for sichach, since some people use it for that. You have no right to make it a kli, make a tummy. And we say, stoma kshera l'sichach. So according to Rava, there's one point of contention. A small size mat stoma. Tanakama says, pasal. Rav Lezer says, kash. Amli abaye ihochi. If your approach is correct, Rav Lezer's wording seems a bit problematic. Why? What's Reb Lezer saying? He's turning to the Tanakam. You hold that a large size mat, stoma, is presumed to have been manufactured for coverage, right? I want to add to that. The same halacha that applies to a large size mat applies to a small size mat. So, how should Rebbe Lezer address the Tanakama? The logical way would be to say, okay, just as you're being makel by a gdoila, I want to add ketana to that. There's no difference between gdoila, which is good according to you, and ketana, which is good according to me. How indeed does Rabbi Lezer address the Tanakhama? The other way around. He says, achas ketana v'achas gdoila. The same that applies to a small applies to a big. It's not the way he should be speaking. Amalei Abaye Hachi, if your approach is correct, Rabbi Lezer Omer, you find in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer says, achas ketana v'achas gdoila. Just as a small, so too a big one. He should have said it the other way around. Achas gdoila. The same halacha that applies to a large one, where stum is good, v'achas ketana, v'boyele. Likewise, a small one. That's how he should have expressed it. He was trying to add the small one to the big one. The same halacha that applies to a large stomach applies to a small stomach. He should have said, well, whether big, whether small, same halacha applies. Instead, he went the other way, which doesn't really fit your approach. V'oid says Abaye, another problem, keep pligi. In actuality, the machlok is between Tanakam and Blazer, it's b'gedaylu de pligi. Pertaining to a large size mat, not a small size mat the way you presented it. Rabbi Lezer l'chumer, in fact, Rabbi Lezer being machmer, not being mekel, the sign as we find in the brayso, we discussed it back in Das Dazayin. Machtzelas akonim begdolu mesachin bo. You have a large size mat, which was undesignated, undefined. You can use it for schach. We assume that it's meant for coverage. So a large stomach is okay. On that, Rabbi Lezer disagrees. Rabbi Lezer omer, im einam mekabel stomach mesachin bo. You can only use it if you know with certainty it was meant for schach. And then it's not makabal tumah, but if it's an unknown, you can't use it. Pretty clear that Rabbi Lezer is coming to be machmer and say, you cannot even use a large stomach. So the point of contention is a large stomach. And Rabbi Lezer is being machmer. Unlike you, Rava, who maintained that the point of machlekes was regarding a small stomach, and Rabbi Lezer was being makel. Ela marav papa, I'll tell you pshat in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer is being machmer, and the point of machlekes is a large size mat stomach. Tanakama says it's okay. Rabbi Lezer says it's possible. Big tana, when it's a small size mat, undefined, unspecified, kuli amule pliga de stam le shchiva, all agree it's presumed to be for shchiva, and it's possible. Small size mat, personal size, meant for reclining, it's a kli. Ki pligi begdoyla. The machlekes applies to a large size mat, which is stam, undefined, unspecified. Tanakama savar stam gdoyla l'sichach. Large size mat, let's assume it wasn't meant to be used as a mattress, rather for schach and its kosher. Reb Lezer savar stam gdoyla nami l'shchiva. Reb Lezer disagrees. He says even a gdoyla, if it's stam, since some people use it for shchiva, we have to take that into consideration and cannot use it for schach. Umay also l'shchiva de ka'amar. Now, how do we see this in Reb Lezer's words? You see, Tanakama is pretty clear. Tanakama starts by saying, a large machtzelis, which was made l'shchiva, no good. Stop right there. Apparently, if it's stomach, it's good. Large size stomach is good. And Tanakama continues, a small one, which was meant for sichach specifically, is okay, but stomach is no good. A Tanakam. And Rabbi Lezer responds like this. Whether small or big, also l'shchiva, which means stomach, not that he had shchiva in mind, it was undefined, unspecified, then we say it's no good. Right? Whether small, that's pasha, then even a big one. Stam, big one, no good. And Rabbi Lezer concludes and says, l'sichach, which means if he had sichach in mind, oh, that's a different story. Then we say, that is kosher. But if it's just stomach, irrelevant of its size, whether small or even large, I'm being machmer, stam gdoyle l'shchiva. So again, says the Gemara, umay asol l'shchiva de ka'amar. Rabbi Lezer says, if he manufacture it for shchiva, it's possible. Hachi ka'amar, you meant to say, stam, asiyasu nami l'shchiva. That the default assumption is l'shchiva. even a stam is considered a shechiva, ad David l'sichach, unless he specifically expressed his intent and kavana that it's being made for sichach. Otherwise, stamma is no good, whether small or large. So bottom line is we had three approaches. We had the havamina, which didn't really work out, but Rava and Rav Papa. Rava's opinion was, machlekes revolved around a large size mat, a small size mat, which was stamma. Undefined, undesignated, Tanakhama says. Small personal size mat, meant for lying, for reclining, it's a kli pasul. Rav Elazar's Meikli says, no. Since sometimes these were used for coverage as well, we can assume it's fine. So, Imachtzelas Ktana Stama, Tanakhama says, okay. Tanakhama says, pasul. Rav Elazar says, it's okay. Abai responded, well, Rav Elazar's being Meikli, we find the Bais, Rav Elazar's come to be Machmir. And Rav Papa responds by saying, yeah, indeed, the Machlekes revolves around a large size machtzelas, stamma. Tanakhama says, okay. Rav Elazar says, it's possible. Okay, so let's summarize the sugya and perhaps refer back to the Mishnah as well and see how it all fits into the Mishnah. So we spoke about machtzelas kana, we have Tanakhama, Rav Elazar. The first approach in the Gemara, which really didn't work, was as follows. Tanakhama speaks about Igdoila, and then speaks about Iktana, two different sizes, and two different halachas. Igdoila, if it's l'shchiva, it's pasul. Stama is okay. Iktana, if it was l'sichach, then of course it's fine. But stama is presumed to be l'shchiva, and it's pasul. We couldn't work out Rabbi Lezer's shita, so we went over to Rava's approach, which was as follows. And the point of contention, the point of machlekes, is relating to a very specific case, small size mat, stamma, right? Ktano stamma. According to Tanakhama, it's possible because it's a personal size mat. It's assumed to have been meant for shchiva, it's a kli and possible. Rabbi Elazar's Meikli says, even a ktano, if it's stamma, since some would use it for schach, we have no reason to make it into a kli, and we could assume that it's fine. So how do we read it in the Mishnah? Well, like this. Tanakhama will speak about only one size mat, a gdoila, just as we see in the words of the Mishnah. What else kind of gdoila? So if it's l'shchiva, it's mekabel tumah. And when the Tanakhama uses the words l'sichach, which is okay, he didn't mean specifically l'sichach, he meant stama, which can be assumed for sichach. Right? So we're speaking about one mat, a large size mat, and we're contrasting between shchiva and stama, which the Tanakhama refers to as l'sichach. And stama is fine. And the diuk, the implication, is that by ktana, which Tanakhama is not addressing, but the implication is that ktana, which is a personal-sized mat, is assumed to be l'shchiva, even if it wasn't designated for shchiva. Even stama is no good. Rabbi Elazar responds by saying, whether it's ktana, or this doila, doesn't matter. If it was specifically earmarked for shchiva, I agree, it's a kli. But if it was stama, and he uses the word l'sichach, which means we have a right to assume it's l'sichach because it was not earmarked for anything else, in which case we say it's kosher, and again, the point is that he's been machadish, even a personal-sized mat, a ktana, if it's stama, it's okay. So according to Rava, by ktana stama, if machlek is, Tanakhama says pasul, Rav Elazar says kosher. Abai asked, well, in the Braisa we see it, let's be machmer by a gdoila stama. So Rav Papa responds by offering another pshat in the machlekes, where the point of contention indeed will be whether a gdoila stama is kosher. According to Tanakhama, yes, large size mat, let's assume it's for schacha. Well, it's machmer, you cannot use it unless you prove that it was meant for schach. And the Mishnah reads like this. Tanakhama speaks about two different types of mats. Begins with a gdoila. If it's l'shchiva, it's pasul. Mashma, that if it's stama, it's okay. Large size mat, by the virtue of its size, is presumed to have been meant for sichach. Whereas when it's a ktana, which is the second part of Tanakhama, a ktana, if it's l'sichach, then of course it's fine. That's what he had in mind. But mashma, if it's just stama, a small size mat, is presumed to have been manufactured for personal use as a kli. Rav Elazar responds by saying, I don't differentiate between sizes. small, big, it's all the same thing. If it's l'shchiva, which he really means stama, meaning that you have to assume it's l'shchiva, you have to take that chance into account. So when Reza says l'shchiva, he meant even if it's stama, we have to assume that it's l'shchiva, in which case, ketana or even a gedayla is pasul. Whereas if he specifically had tzchach in mind, of course, there's no question that irrelevant of size, this mat is intended for coverage and not for kli, therefore kosher for your sukkah. So the point according to Rav Papa is that by a gedayla stama, Tana Kama says it's okay, Rav Blazer says it's possible. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Machzelas, we're going to have a third shita which says all mats are fine. Even a small size mat stama, it's okay. Tana Rabban Machzelas, Shal Shifa v'Shal Gemi. A mat made of these soft and pliable plants, materials. If it's a gdoila, mesachachin ba. So again, we're speaking that it's undefined. That's the whole sugi. We're speaking about a stum. He has something specific in mind. There's no question as to the status of that mat. But if it's unearmarked, undesignated, so if it's made of these soft materials and it's large in size, mesachachin ba. Why would he make a large one for personal use? Ketana, if it's a personal-sized mat, ein mesachachin ba. We assume it's meant for reclining and pasul for schach. Shel konim v'shel chelas. Now we have a mat made of reeds, bamboos, chelas, some sort of other plant which has a hard stalk. So in that case, it's not necessarily meant for lying, for reclining. Gedula mesachachin ba. Rashi learns gedula, not gedula, gedula. A braided one, in which case it's bumpy and uncomfortable. You can go ahead and use it, and even if it's a small size mat, it's braided. It's not meant for personal use. It's meant for shade and shielding. So you can use it for schach. Aruga, however, if it's woven, in which case it's smooth and comfortable, ein masachachin ba. You can't use it because we're speaking about a small size mat, which is presumed to have been manufactured for shchiva. So this is in line with the Tana Kama, who differentiates between who says that if it's stoma, it's right. If it's stoma, it's small stoma, we assume it's for shchiva. Here comes the shita which is very make. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, or even Rabbi Shmuel Aviv. Rabbi Shmuel quoted his father who says, "Achazu v'achazu masachin ba." Whether it's braided, in which case it's bumpy and unsuitable for lying, or even if it's aruk, woven, in which case it's smooth and suitable for shchiva, you can use it. V'chein hayir Rabbi Daisa emek dvarav, and likewise Rabbi Daisa concurred with his shita, in which case now we have three shitas. So let's summarize the three shitas again. We're speaking about a machzelas kanim, stum, undesignated, unearmarked. And the Gemara later will explain, we're speaking that it's bishar mekaymis, meaning in places where theoretically, these mats can be used for two purposes. They serve two functions, as a schach and for shchiva. So that's number one. And also, the Gemara will tell us we're speaking about mats which have no rim, no safa around its perimeter, in which case it's not really intended for a clay kibble to be used as a receptacle, as a container. So we have three shitas: Tana Kama, Rab Lezer, which we had until now, and now we have Rab Yosi and Rab Daisa, a third shita to be added to the equation. Okay, so let's go back to Tana Kama, who said that a machzelas kanim stoma, well, if it's small, ketana, we have to assume it's meant for shchiva. Now we have another aspect added in this brisa regarding a gedula, one which is braided and uncomfortable, in which case, even if it's small, it's pretty clear it wasn't meant for lying, and it's kosher. Whereas a machzelas kanim gedula stoma is okay, according to Tana Kama. Rabbeinu takes issue with that. He says, even if it's gedula, assume the worst, and give it a din of a kli. Here comes the new shita, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Doisa, who take a different approach. They say, any of these mats, whether small or big, if it's stama, let's just assume that it's kasher unless it was designated for shchiva, you can go ahead and use it for your schach. Continues the Gemara Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah, Maseches Idyos, Kolachit Solis, which the Gemara soon will interpret. So all these chaytzalis are metamint meimeis. According to Rab Deisa, these things are meant as kalim, utensils, which are potentially a tamei meis. If it touches a meis, it becomes tamei, like any other kli. But since it's not meant for reclining, sitting, and lying on it, it's not going to get tumas midras, which means that if a zav or a zava would sit, lie, or stand on this item without even touching it, maybe there's something in between the zav and the item. So generally, if it's something which is meant to hold a person, a couch, a chair, which is meant for this purpose, then it receives this additional tumas midras from the zav. But if it's not meant for that, it's just a kli, a utensil meant for other purposes, for other functions, rather than supporting a person, then it doesn't have tumas midras capability. These chaytzales, kontra b'daisa, don't have that capability. They're just containers, they're just kalim. They can get tumas meis through touching, through carrying, but not tumas midras. Chacham oimer midras, they maintain, these things are meant for sitting and lying and reclining, and they can have tumas medras. Medras in tmei meis loy, you mean only medras, and we don't treat it like a regular kli, in which case it can't get tumas meis. That doesn't work. If you have one, you certainly have the other. If you're a kli for medras, then certainly you have other tumah capabilities as well. But anantanam, we looked in the Mishnah. Kala metame midras, metame tmei meis. Anything which has tumas midras has tmei meis. You can't have midras without tmei meis. Ema rather says the Gemara, you're right, af midras. Chachamim are adding on Rav Deisa, not only tmei meis as an ordinary kli, but even tumas midras, because we consider this thing to be designated for sitting, lying, and supporting a person as well. Okay, so these chaytzalis kontra Rav Deisa are simple kalim, simple utensils which don't have midras. Whereas kontra chachamim considered like a something meant for lying on, reclining on, sitting on, and it has tumas midras. What are these chaytzalis? My chaytzalis. We have two versions. Omar Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri Marzubli. That's what it is. Okay, my Marzubli. What is that? Omar Rav Abba Mazabli. Rashi learns it's the knapsack of the roi of the shepherd, which technically could serve two functions. It could serve as a container, and also occasionally the shepherd would use it to nap on it as a pillow. So according to the Chachamim, it has that tumas midras capability. According to Rabbi Daisa, since it's not really meant for the shepherd to lie on, not meant to sleep on the job, so it doesn't really have that function. It's a typical container which has tumas meis, but not tumas midras. So that's one pshat in the word chaytzalis. Second pshat is Rabbi Shimon Lagish Eimer Machtzalis Mamish, real mats, plain mats. Perhaps chaytzalis because it's mini mats, as the Sfasemis explains. So we're speaking about mats. And once again, Chacham say a mat, it's meant for reclining, for lying on, therefore it's a midras. Rabbi Deisa maintains it's primarily intended for other usages, and therefore he says it's not mitame tumas midras, rather it's a kli. We're going to learn soon it has a rim, has a ridge around the edges, in which case it's meant for Kabbalah, it's meant as a container, and even if some people will lie on it, it doesn't really have a din of tumas medras. This is really in line with Rabbi Deisa earlier, who said that any mat, unless it was specifically designated for shechiva purposes, we can't just assume it was meant for that purpose. So again, Rav Shimon Lakish maintains chaytzalis amach tzalis mamish. V'az Rosh Lakish tamei. In fact, Rosh Lakish is in line with his opinion stated elsewhere, that chaytzalos are mats. Domer Rish Lakish. Harenika Paras Rabbi Chiyo Bonav. Says Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Harenika Paras. I'm willing to accept on myself the kapara, the yisur and haboin olai, should be the kaparasa, should be Chiyo Bonav you. Difficulties that I experienced should be an atonement on Chiyan sons. It was a reference of endearment, of appreciation for all that they did for Klal Yisrael. I'm willing to experience kapara on their behalf. Says Rashi, "V'loshen kavatu ze'akshu masker avivoy rabbi lachmisos itzorich lemekain." Loyalein, a person would refer to his father, his rebbe, within the year, in this manner. Harin kabaras mishkavoy. So although it was way after they were nifter, but he was he appreciated what they did for Klal Yisrael, and he expressed this term of endearment towards them. So again, Rish Lakish says, "Harin kaparas rabbi chiyah ubonav." also special about Rechiv Abanav, Shebetchilo, initially, Kishenishtak Chotar Yisrael, when Torah began to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, they started forgetting halachas. Allah Ezra Mibavol Yista, Ezra came up from Bavel, beginning of Bayis Sheni, and he clarified, he reestablished the Torah. Chazav Neshtak, then afterwards some more halachas were starting to been forgotten. Allah Hila Bavli Yista. Hila Bavli came up from Bavli, he was a Talmud of Shmai Vavtali, he came back, and he reestablished the Torah, he clarifies things. Chazav Neshtak, once again, there was Shikha and Klal Yisrael. Alu Rabbi Chia Ubanov V'yistur. Rabbi Chia and his sons came up from Babel, and they reestablished the Torah. They clarified things, and therefore Rish Lakish was so appreciative to Rabbi Chia Ubanov regarding what they did, and he used that lashon Arein Kapalas Mishkavi. So, in fact, what was he referring to here? V'chein Om Rabbi Chia Ubanov. So they explain like this. This is back to the Machlokes regarding the Chitzolis. Lo Nechal Kur Rabbi Deis V'Chachamim. There's no discussion between Rav Deis and Chacham regarding machzoles, which were intended for reclining and sleeping to be as mattresses, the ones in Usha. Shein Tmeis, of course, they're considered Tmei Medras because they're soft and earmarked for that purpose. So it's pretty clear, by the way, that Rish Lakish, Shimon Lakish, assumes that chitzoles are mats, right? So that's the connection here. He was the one who said mats, and we see that Rav Shlakish indeed interprets the Mishnah as such. You see, he quotes Rav Chia Bonov, who elaborate further on this concept of the Chatzalis. It's pretty clear speaking about mats. So once again, the ones in Usha, which were intended primarily for sleeping, for Shriva, and for nothing else, of course, all agree that Tmei Midras. On the other hand, Vishal Tveri, the ones made in Tveri, which are hard, rigid, nobody uses them for sleeping. Shein to Iris. Certainly, they're not meant for Medras. And they're going to be tar from Medras. Perhaps they can be used for other functions. We're speaking of, has a ridge around the perimeter, in which case it's a container. But not meant for Medras. Amma Nechalku. When does the Machlekas apply? What's the case? What's the point of contention? Al Sham Mekoimis. Mats manufactured in other places. Mar Sovar Kivin the Lech of the Yosef Alayu. Rabbi Deis maintains, since most people don't use it for Shriva. The Lech of the Yosef Alay, Rashi says, most people are not meant to use it, don't intend to use this for Shriva. Because it's very Damyon, we categorize it as a Tveri mat, in which case it's not considered Tmei Medras. Rashi explains that, you know, even if the Zav decides to sit on a Kli which is not meant for sitting, you tell him, get up. Amoid v'nasas machtenos, like the Kli addresses the Zav, get off of me, I have to go, have a job to do. Meaning something which is not earmarked for sitting and lying purposes does not have too much midrash capability. Blaise maintains, all these mats manufactured in other towns where although perhaps some people use them for lying, but since brave people are not ruggle to be miyachere for that purpose, it doesn't have a din of midrash. Umar Savar was a rabbanon hold, well, given the mikri yasva alayo, since at least some people do decide to use them for sitting and lying and reclining, Kedusha Damyan, we treat it as the ones in Usha, in which case we give it a din of Tumas Medras, as Rashi on top. So the ones in Usha, Shein Tmeyas, that's Pashut, Af Midras, the Miyachadis is Shriven, it's meant for lying, Lelthashash Acher, specifically meant for lying, and nothing else. On the other hand, you have the ones in Tveria, Ashal Tveria, Shekash Yasein, Venucha Adam Sheikh Avalayim, nobody uses it for Shriva. The question pertains to the gray area, places where some people use it for Shriva. But not most people. Kiven the lech of the yasev alayu ain roiv bnei adam regil niachton lekach. Most people don't designate their mats for sitting and lying. They use real mattresses. Therefore, Abdesa says it doesn't have too much medrash. Whereas Rabbanan say the mikri yasev, some will use it for lying purposes. Umiachton lekach, and they designate it for that purpose. So we have to give it a din of tumas medrash. Okay. So again, we had a machlokes regarding chitzolis, which can carry one of two interpretations, either the shepherd's knapsack, which is certainly a container, but perhaps can be used for as a pillow as well. Then we have the chitzolis, meaning mats, perhaps small size mats, where we're speaking about a town where it's mostly used for schacha, or I should say probably a kli, as a container, because the Morrison will tell us we're speaking that has a rim, a ridge at the end. So most people use it for that. Some use it for lying. So in both cases, we have something which carries a potential, a dual function. Chachamim say, okay, so we give it to us medrash as well. Not only is it a container, we classify it as a medrash as well. But as it says, since its primary function is for containment and not for lying purposes, it doesn't have tumas medrash, considered like a regular kli. It has other tumas, like tumas meis, etc., but not medrash. So now we're going to have a kasha, a contradiction between the most recent brisa, the most recent discussion regarding chetzolos, which according to Oshitis is a kli. Even Rav Deisa agrees that it's a container. And certainly wouldn't be kasha for schach. And what about that other brisa discussed earlier, where we had the machzelis, and Rav Deisa says, "Can you use it for schach?" What do you mean? It's a kli. Amar. So let's review. Kol chetzolos mitamen tmimis. The Rav Deisa. So according to Rav Deisa, it's a kli. It's not midras. It's not meant for lying, but it's a kli. It's mitamei tmeimis. V'atanya, what about the previous price? When we discussed a mat, and what did Rav Deisa say? V'chein haya Rav Deisa eimer kedvarav. He concurred with Rav Shmuel Rav Yosi that even a small size mat is kasha for schach, right? Unless he designated it for shechiva, but otherwise, is stam, unidentified mat, it's kasha. What do you mean? You just said it's a kli. Like kasha, the answer is, depends how it's designed. Hod is like a danfa. Danfa means a rim, a ridge around the perimeter. Then it's a kli kibul. And that's what chetzolos were all about. A mat which has a kli kibul. Hod is like a danfa, whereas in the first case, the mat did not have a danfa, it didn't have a ridge, just a plain, flat mat. And we don't consider it a kli at all. Why? Because according to Rav Deisa, we assume it's made for a sichuch. That's not called a kli. Continues the Gemara. Meisve. We have a kasha from our brisa. It's a very similar brisa, but the brisa adds more to the list. Chetzolos, right? These chetzolos, whether they're the backpack of the shepherd or the small sized mats. We're going to have a list of many different types. Chetzolos shel sham, shel gemi. These are these plants, these soft plants from which they fashion these chetzolos. Veshel sak. This is a sack made from goat's hair. Veshel sfira, or manufactured using horse trimmings. So these four types of chetzolos, metamet meimis. The Rav Deisa, it's a kli. It's metamet meimis, but not tumas medras. Since they can potentially serve for lying and sleeping, it's considered a tamei medras as well. Okay, so it's a similar brisa, but here we added another few items. We added we added more description. Sham, gemi, saka, sfira, these chatzalos consist of any of these materials. Now the Mashal points out that it seems from the Gemara that we're speaking that it has no gedanfa, it has no ridge, just plain flat chetzolos. Now, let's analyze the brice. Bishleim elamanda amar mar zubli. Remember, we had two possible definitions for the word chetzolos. Either mar zubli, the backpack, the shepherd's knapsack. So bishleim elamanda amar mar zubli works well according to that shita. We can very well understand why all these different types of chetzolos are considered kelim. They have functions, they have purposes. Shel sham, shel gemi. The chetzolos, these containers made of sham and gemi, these plants, although they're porous, meaning the weave is a sort of a thick weave, right? They're plants. So you have lots of holes. You can still use it for something. Chazo lekinta can be used for a basket, the peri, a fruit basket. Shel sak v'shel sfira, likewise, the chetzolos, these containers made of sack and sfira, hair, goat's hair, horse hair. Chazo l'gul k'vitzani, since they're a tighter weave, less porous, they can be used for gul k'vitzani, small sized containers which contain smaller items. So whether it's made from this material, that material, they have functions, they have purpose, they have use. According to the other approach, chitzolis meant real mats. Let's go down the list and see if they're useful. It's understandable if the mat is made of sack and sphira, goat's hair, horse hair, then there's some function, some purpose, some use to this mat. How? You can use it to be purus as a vilain, as she says, as a curtain. You can use it as a curtain. It's thin enough to be used for a curtain. V'nafasa. A fossa, Rashi says, is a napa, a sieve, a sifter. You take this mat made of goat's hair, and you wrap it around some flour, and you shake it, and use it as a sifter. Ela shel sham shel gemi l'may chazu. What can you use a flat mat made with sham and gemi? These plants are not suitable for anything, right? Says the Gemara, Chazu lanaziyasa. You can use it to cover a barrel in which you produce your wine, your beer. So that's some function. And therefore, Kunjab Daisa, it's a kli and matamit memes. Igdami, it was another version, a slightly different version of this discussion. Basically, the same results, just a different approach, a different direction. Bishlamamanda amachsolis, mamish. Let's start with the other sheet. If chatzolis means real mats, so it makes sense that they're considered a kli because they have purpose and function. Shosham, shal gemi, the ones made out of these plants, chazal and zayasa, you can use it to cover your barrel. Shal sak, shal sphere, the ones made out of hair, chazal of farsim, and a farsim, use it for a curtain or as a sift. Elamand omar zubli, according to the other approach, the chatzolis means a container, a knapsack. Bishlem, shal sak, shal sphere, certainly the ones made from sack and sphere, hair ones, chazal gulkavitsani, you can form small kalim out of them, which contain small items. Elo shel sham shel gemi, the ones made out of plants which have a thicker weave and more porous, you can't really put small items into them. My chazu, what are they ready for? What purpose do they serve? Chazu akin to the peri, they can be used as a fruit basket. So that's the bottom line. Either way you learn, there's some function and purpose for these marzubli or the machzales. In which case, according to Rabbi Daisa, it's still considered a kli, a matame to memes, whereas Rabbanon add to that as well, since it can potentially serve for shchiva as well. Not only is it a kli, it's also a matame mitzvah. So, in conclusion, we learned about the chitzolis, which are tmein, according to Rabbi Daisa, only tmein memes and not midras, chum even midras. So, what function, what purpose do these items serve? So, if you learn that chitzolis is referring to a container, marzubli, the shepherd's backpack. So if it's made from sham begemi, these plants, you can use it for as a fruit basket. If it consists of different types of hairs, goat hair or horse hair, then you can make a smaller size kli, as a tighter weave, and can make a small kli which contains small items. Chacham add that even l'shchiva it is roi for, which case is matam betumas medras as well. If you learn that we're speaking machzolis mamish, real mats, of course we're speaking about Shar Mekoyim, meaning not Usha or Tveria, other places where it's primarily meant for other purposes other than lying, in which case Rabbi Daisa says it's only Matame Tmei Meis. What function does it serve? It depends. If it's made from Sak and Sphira, it can be used as a curtain or sifter for your flour. If it's made of Sham Begami, these plants, then it can be used to be Machasa the Chavis of beer, chacham ed, and say it's roi for that, but it's also roi for shchiva. It's matame tumas medras. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in the Brice. Omer Rabbi Chananya, kshiradati l'goyla, when I went down to Bavel, matzasi zaken echad, I met up with a certain zaken, a talmud chacham, v'omerli, and he told me as follows: Masachachin bebudya, you can use budya, a certain type of mat, which was never meant for shchiva purposes, in which case it's not a kli, and kasha for schach. Kshebasi, eitzel, b'shoa. When I came to b'shoa, achi abba, my father's brother, my uncle, hoidel advarv, he agreed. Indeed, that is true. Amar b'chizda, who provided the left leg a danfa, doesn't have a rim, in which case it's not a container. But otherwise, it's a kli kibble, and pasal for schach. Amar ula, honey, budisa, the bnei mechuzah, the budisa mats used in by the bnei mechuzah, il mala kishalhem. If not for the fact that they have a rim, which makes them a kli, mesachachin bu, they would be able to use this for schach. But now that it has a rim, it's a kli. Tanya mihachi, we have a brisa which supports this as well. Mesachachin bebudyo, it can be used for schach. Meish kishalhem kir, if it has a rim, which makes it a container, ein mesachachin bu. Hadron loch suk. Says the Mishnah, yosh in tachas amita besukah. If one should choose to sleep beneath a bed, which is situated in the sukkah, it's not Yotzei's mitzvah, because it's out of the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He's going to make his point with a story, once again. This was our regular custom. We would sleep under the beds, in full view of the elders. They never said a word, apparently. Even beneath the bed, you're still considered to be within the sukkah. Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon will support the Tanakam. Under the bed is unacceptable, and he'll prove it with a story as well. Ma'asa b'tavi avdi. So Rabbi Gamliel, there was an incident involving Tavi, who was Rabbi Gamliel's loyal servant. He was a great Talmud Chacham. She yashan tachas amita. He was, in fact, found sleeping under the bed. Tosfos brings that the sukkah was filled with Chachamim, was getting cramps, he wanted to get out of the way. And he hid under the bed, he didn't want to leave the sukkah, he wanted to listen into the conversation, hear the Torah. So he decided to stay under the bed. For Amalhan Ram Gamliel is skenim. Ram Gamliel addresses the skenim, he says, look, Re'isem Tavi Avdi, Shu Talmud Chacham, take a look at my, do you see my Eved? He's a Talmud Chacham, a well-learned fellow. He knows that an Eved is potter from sukkah, because it's a time-related mitzvah, which Isha is potter from, and Eved has the same obligations as Isha. Lefichach yashnu tachas ha-sukkah. That's why he chose to sleep under the tachas ha-mita, under the bed. So that was the exchange, that was the comment issued by Rav Gamliel in reference to his loyal servant Tevi. Says Rabbi Shimon, isn't it pretty clear from here? Ulefid rochenu lamadnu, and on our way, meaning by way of this conversation, we can certainly conclude that shayosh and tachas amita lo yotzei chavasa. If one's under the bed, he's not yotzei the mitzvah. That's why he decided to sleep under the bed, because he's a talmud chacham, he knows he's potter from sukkah. But otherwise, you can't sleep under the bed. Says the Gemara, what's wrong with the bed? Well, like asara, we assume there isn't a tenth facham of airspace beneath that bed. In which case, it's not a rishus. You're not out of the sukkah when you're under that bed. Tergumah Shmuel interpreted the Mishnah. B'mita asara. Indeed, it's speaking about a bed which is 10 tefachim off the ground, which makes the airspace beneath it, as you consider like a full oil, a full rishus, a separate place of dwelling, in which case, if one is to be found there, he is to be considered out of the sukkah. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. We discussed the halacha of a mat. Now, it's pretty clear that if it was designated for any specific use, we follow that designation. If it was meant for shechiva, and certainly it's a kli and pasul for schach. If it was meant for sichuch, certainly it's not a kli and kasha for schach. The question is, by stama, undefined, unspecified. So we actually have a three-way machlekes between the Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer, and then the shitas of Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Deisa. So again, we're speaking about Machzelas Konim, unidentified, stama, unearmarked, which was produced in Shar Mekoymis, meaning places where the mat can potentially have two purposes. And of course, we're speaking that it's not a kli as far as a ridge, it's not considered a container, it does not have that safa around its edge. So what is the halacha of this Machzelas Konim stama? Tanakama maintains, well, it depends on size. Small-sized is indicative of personal use of shechiva, except if it's gedula, meaning it was braided and uncomfortable, in which case it's certainly not meant for shechiva and it's kasher. A large size mat is presumed to have been manufactured for schach and kasher. Rabbeinu says, whether ktana or gedula, it is considered a kli, you assume it's meant for shechiva as well, and is possible for schach. Of course, if it's braided, gedula, there's no discussion, it's uncomfortable, and it's not a kli. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Doisa, however, maintain whether Tana or Gdoila. If it's Stama, let's not assume it was meant for anything other than Sichach, and therefore it's Kasher for Schach. We discussed these Chaitzalis, which are dual usage items. Rabbi Yosi maintains it's meant primarily to be used as a kli, not for lying or reclining, in which case it's Metamit Meimes, but not Midrus, Chachamim say. Since it can potentially be used for lying and reclining as well, they contain tumas medrus. We conclude with the machlokes regarding one who is yoshin tachas amita basuka. Tanakama maintains he's not yoitz. In fact, we have a story to support that. From Rav Gamliel's Eved, the Tavi was found under the bed and was praised by Rav Gamliel for doing that. Whereas Rav Yehuda maintains even under a bed, you're still in the sukkah. And then we'll go into the shitas and explain the reason behind the machlokes. Cult of Tiyun Atzlacha Rabbah.